Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson
and I'm Helen Thorne.
Who are our guests today, Helen Thorne?
We have we're blessed, not
we
with
blessed.
One but two guests, Ellie, and we're doing an interior special with the wonderful Nikki and the wonderful Wayne.
Hey!
Welcome to the podcast. You join us, listener, in my living room, which, may I say, is looking wonderful because I didn't choose anything in it. That's right. Nikki chose literally the colour of the carpets, the actual carpet, the curtains, the wallpaper, and Wayne built the cabinet. So thank you very much. This is basically the episode is just me saying thanks for making my house look less shit. And also, please don't open any of the cupboards you built, Wayne. It's just a load of Lego and Marvel shit will fall out. Welcome to the podcast.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Basically, so is it right? So you're basically a carpenter, Wayne.
Yes.
And you're the Mary to his Joseph, Nikki.
Also my middle name.
There we are.
You're an interior designer. So we're going to have a bit of a design. We've not really done an interior design special, have we?
No, we haven't. And it's one of those things that we all kind of spent far too much time in our houses in lockdown.
Okay.
And it's one of the things where we did look inward in many ways in that time. And I think, and it has blossomed. I mean, you two
are we still
know.
Talking about interior design?
Oh, the internals.
God, it's happened so quickly. But we've spent everyone has spent a lot of time in their houses in the last few years. And I think we've seen this sort of massive big shift in people wanting to do better things for their houses, looking to find ways to have more joy from
Absolutely.
Their houses as well.
Yeah.
And this is where you guys come in, because you make the magic happen, literally, in Ellie's house. So this has been an exciting thing, because I've known Ellie for 10 years now.
Since my house was really shit. That's what
she did. She used to sit on a brown DFS leather sofa.
So we're going to, so hopefully maybe get some design tips and stuff. Basically, we should probably just call this episode How to Make Your House Look a Bit Less Shit.
Yes.
Kick us off, why don't you introduce yourselves properly? Because we've just, as usual, talked about ourselves for the first 2 minutes. Let's start with you, Nikki. Who are you?
So I am Nikki Bamford-Bowes. I'm an interior designer. I'm also known as Anena in Wild on Instagram. Do lots of design tips, styling tips, things like that on social media. And I design houses, properties, residential and some commercial. Also a friend of you, Ellie. I've
yes.
known you for a long time, and a friend of Wayne, and we've also worked together.
And you were on the telly, on Interior Design Masters?
I was on Interior Design Masters, the first ever episode.
Made her go on.
First ever series, yeah. Funnily...
I literally... said, you're perfect for this, your house is stunning, and I gave her the application form, made her fill it in, and I sent it to the casting people, who then made her go on it.
I did wonder why you didn't send me an application. you should go,
We were out having a drink one night in town, and he was just like, this show has just come up, he'd been working on a great interior design challenge, and he was just going to be perfect for it. And I was like, don't be ridiculous, this sounds like terrifying, you know, I've got three kids. You know, there's no way I can do this. And I didn't know anything about the show because it was the first ever series. And then Matt was going, my husband was saying, do it. And I was like, no. And then at the very last minute, I filled in the application form and just thought, what have you got to lose? So, yeah.
Well, sadly, the show.
Well, that was a small part.
Is it now on Netflix? Netflix or something as
well? Yeah, so went on BBC iPlayer, and it's Netflix worldwide now. So, you know, and it's been on that for like 4 or 5 years.
Mm.
So you can still watch it if you want, series one. Yeah, and it's amazing because I still get messages all the time now from people who've seen it for the first time, messages of support from people in like Thailand and Australia. And it really blows my mind because it was quite a long time ago since we did the show now, and I've almost sort of put that to bed. In fact, I only ever watched it once. It's all a bit emotional.
Oh. Well, was it like, because I imagine it must be like having your heart ripped out when I was watching, because it's a bit like the X Factor, right, for anyone. You do a room up or whatever it is and they critique you.
Yeah.
Some of the critique was so harsh. Yeah. The interior design, that's not just your career, is it? You put your heart and soul into
this
it.
This is it, your heart and soul, your brand, your everything. But I mean, I think the bit that people don't see, which is the real work that goes on before the filming and before the transformation, is you have 1 week to be given a brief. You have like a shoestring budget. You have to research, design, procure, buy all the stuff, get it delivered to your house and get it picked up in a week. And then you're also teamed with different people, different designers, and you've all got different styles. So, you know, there's all that real stress that goes on before you even go to set to transform the space, and then you've got, by that point, you're already broken. And then you have like 2 days to transform a space that you've never seen before, never met the client, so it's hard, you know. And you've got,
and then sometimes they go, it's shit,
and then they go, oh, sorry, why have you not got enough cushions? And was like, well, there was a reason for that.
Cushions, we can always go to Dunelm, for God's sake. Cushions are the last thing anyone needs to worry about. Now, Wayne, you're also a TV legend.
I'll take that, thank you.
Well, your sort of superhero name is the TV carpenter, isn't it?
The TV carpenter. So I think I'm the only carpenter who does both interior design and garden makeover shows. So I've been fortunate enough to do garden shows like Love Your Garden with Alan Titchmarsh, or Garden Rescue with Charlie Dimmock and the Rich Brothers. And then I now, obviously, I do interior design. I did the Great Interior Design Challenge for 4 years, and now the Interior Design Masters I've done for 4 years. I've done all 4 seasons of that.
Oh, wow.
But I'm the DIY expert on BBC Morning Live and Alan Titchmarsh Love Your Weekend. So
what's Titchmarsh like in real life?
He is a legend.
He's a legend.
And he's, as you imagine him to be on screen, I built gardens with him, and literally women throw their knickers at him. He's like, they love him.
He's not awake at night waiting for the U-tree knock. Of course he isn't.
He's amazing. And what you see on TV is what he's really like. He's a really nice guy.
But Wayne, this isn't what you've always done, is it? So you've done this for what, 10, is it 10 years now?
10 years.
But before that, you were doing something slightly more showy,
slightly
more flamboyant. You were on the stage in the West End, is that
right? I worked solidly in the West End. So I did leads in musicals like Bombay Dreams and Rent, and I did a lot of TV work. So I did a detective series called D.L. and Pascoe. I was a detective in that for about 2.5 years. So it was D.L. Pascoe and myself, I was a third. But then when my daughter was born, about 14 years ago, just all the jobs I was being offered were being away. They were like on tour, and my wife's an actress as well. And we just had Eva. I thought, I just don't want to be away. So I started doing, we ended up renovating our house as well, because it was, you know, as we all do when you first have a child, you decide to do all the loft conversions and everything. So I started doing carpentry, enjoyed it, loved it.
I started doing carpentry. I'm like, Jesus. So I just started doing carpentry. We would, you don't say, and then realised I was interested in illness. So I just started doing doctoring. We just started doing it,
To
Wayne.
Be fair, it was a necessity. It was when the credit crunch hit, 2008. Right. So the bank stopped, you know, wouldn't lend me the money they promised, so we had half a loft. We didn't have a kitchen, and I was 10 grand short and everything, so I quickly learned how to hang doors and fit a kitchen to get my girls in. And my dad's a builder, so I kind of learned off him. It was never my thing. I never wanted to be a carpenter. I was always the actor. And then started enjoying it, earning more money, working for people, and then there was a moment where I was doing, got these TV carpentry gigs, which were fun, and I was enjoying them. And then my agent kept calling me, asking me for auditions, and I was turning those down to do the carpentry. And the last job I got offered was with a film with Colin Firth. So it was my agent rang me, said, they've seen your showreel, you're gonna, you've just got to meet the director on Monday and then you'll fly out the following week, but they just want to meet you. And I read the script and I was like, I can't be asked. And I was like, if you can't be asked to do this film with Colin Firth.
What film was it?
I can't remember the name of it. I didn't even get that far.
Pride and Prejudice.
Mr. Darcy. So at that moment, I then literally stopped the acting, sacked off the acting agent, and then became the TV carpenter.
Just started nailing shit together.
Nailing shit. And actually, I've never looked back, and I love this far more than any of the acting I've ever done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But this is my question, right? So when I moved into this house sort of over a decade ago, the people who we bought it from had done it up to sell it, quite, as we found out, quite poorly and to a low level. But it looks
a lot of double-sided tape.
Yeah. And then I just had a baby, so we didn't have any money. And then you and I, Helen, didn't make any money for a few years. Sorry Mummy started doing all right, thank you very much, listener. I was like, well, I've got a little bit of money now, but I don't want to move and I don't want to. So, and then I thought, I don't know how to do this. I was like, I sort of know what I like and I don't like. It's not like I think I don't have taste, but I don't know what cushions go with the colour of the sofa, and I don't know if the rug is supposed to match the curtains, and I just don't know. I want it to look nice, and I know what nice is, but I don't know how to do that, which is why I came to you, Nikki. But I suppose what I'm getting at is, like with you, Wayne, do you think you do have to have an innate talent and an innate feeling for design and for stuff like this, or can it be learned, or can it be taught?
I think it can definitely be learned, definitely be taught. I'm the same. I know what I like and I know what I don't like, which is why I go to Nikki. Like, she's our friend, and I've gone to her and gone, babes, what colour do I use for this? Or I want my house to look like the Every Month Cinema. I think that looks beautiful, and that was my theme. But so I think going to an interior designer is the bit that actually makes the house look absolutely stunning. And don't be afraid to use an interior designer. I push everybody towards an interior designer as a carpenter.
Well, yeah, if you can afford it, and if you can afford it.
But I think I'm not talking, Nikki will explain more, but I think you save money with an interior designer because they can get deals, they know the best trades, they can say, you want that look, but I can get you a cheaper. Whereas you'd go in going, I don't know what to do, so I'll just tell, they'll tell me what I should get. And I think you end up spending more money that way. And anyone's ever worked with a designer or a creative carpenter like myself, they definitely save money because you can be clever with it, I think.
Yeah, and definitely, Nikki, I've seen that with you. Like, you're not like always saying, you know, let's buy £5,000 wallpaper from Milan. Sometimes we go to Dunelm. We have a lovely time.
We mix and match, as they say. High-end, high street, you know.
But do you think, like, did you always just have an eye for that sort of... Did you just have a sense?
For me, my background was graphic design. So 20 years ago, well, my degree was in graphic design, in fact. And, you know, I ended up falling into interiors through a passion and a love and falling out of love with graphic design. So like the fundamentals that I'd learnt in that, I sort of followed through to, you know, interiors. But ultimately, my being has always been in design. And actually, both my sisters are designers. We're all creative. So I guess in a way, you know, having that sort of sense of style and an eye does come from within, but you can learn so much about how you can pull it together and the fundamentals and I guess the rules and the rules to break and all of that. So it's sort of a bit of both. But for me, it's been such a passion and an obsession, really, that's grown into a career. So, you know, I feel really grateful that I've had the opportunity and being able to change career later in life and do something that just really... It makes my heart flutter, really, though. Aww. I love it.
Because it's the personal side of it as well. Because I know, you know, when you go through, as like Ilo was saying, like you've had children or you have like life changes or like I have having, you know, now owning the house by myself. And I wanted to do tiny little changes that made it feel like my own house.
Yes.
I mean, is that what really drives you both in your... in your careers and I guess personally as well?
Yeah, I think, I mean, design is subjective, but it's also so connected to your emotions and your well-being. And, you know, how you can create emotion can come from like what you see, what you touch, what you feel, how you get through your day, you know, making your life easier. And so being able to help somebody else do that and make their life an easier, happy place is a really pleasurable thing. You know, we're not saving lives, but we are helping make changes in people's lives for the better. And I think
that's been a real takeaway for me when people have come back and said, oh, I really, you know, really enjoying this space, and I didn't realise it until they made those changes or painted that wall that colour or found some storage for this or changed the flow of their house, how that impacted their day-to-day well-being. And so, yeah, it's a really pleasurable thing. And for me, I'm a real pleaser, a people person, people pleaser. I want people to be happy. I want them to love every aspect of, you know, what we've created together. And so seeing that end result and seeing, you know, what we've created is something that they love, then that's just a real joy for me.
Mm. Yeah. And
feeling a little bit missed. Sorry, mate, you go.
What's interesting is, I don't even know if Pete told you, but about a year after I'd done your wardrobes up in your loft, he voice noted me and messaged me and going, I just want to say, we've got family coming over and we're clearing all the shit away. And I just want to say, the wardrobe upstairs in our loft has made such a huge difference because we can get all the crap out of the way. And I just wanted to let you know how thankful I am.
Yeah.
That was a year later after we'd done it. You know, so that's even in your house. So all those little things that we do, and I remember with me, Nikki, I remember doing a larder unit for you in your kitchen, and doing a larder unit for somebody in a kitchen was the biggest thing. You were like, oh my god, I can't tell you, just to put jars away and close all the shit
junk and everything having a place.
And it's just a simple thing, and it's just a cupboard, but you've made a huge difference to the way the family dynamics work.
Yeah.
It's just wood, but actually you can create something really special for a family. It makes a huge difference.
Mm.
I have found, yes, cupboards, which you've both correctly encouraged me to embrace. cupboards is life changing, mate. If this carries on, the whole house is just going to be cupboards. It's going to be fucking tidy.
But to the point of upstairs, outside your bedroom, there's some shelving. Last time I came round, Pete was like, do you think we could put a cupboard there?
More doors.
Never too much storage, can I say? Yeah.
And I asked him to ask you to give us a quote for putting some shelves under the cupboard upstairs.
And I said, there's
upstairs.
No point.
And you refused, Wade.
I didn't refuse, because as my job as a carpenter...
You said you refused.
I said... The cost it'll cost you to do this, it won't benefit you because you've got all these other things in there, like the fuse board or whatever. And so this is me saving you money going,
right.
There's no point.
Oh, listen. I don't know what Titchmarsh is paying you. But it's not the only media personality with a checkbook. Do people still use checkbooks? They don't use it anymore. Have you got any other sort of basic tips for, like, if you're like, what are some basic things that we can do to make our house look a bit less shit?
First step, I always say, before you do any transformation at all, is have good clear out. Literally, people just are so busy wanting to get to the step of making it nice and decorating, but they've got all this junk,
shit.
Basically. Mm. And they need to sort through and see what they really need. Do they need storage? Do they need a bigger cupboard? Do they need more shelves? You know, all of these things. Sort your stuff out first and be ruthless and really think about the space and how you use it. So that would always be my sort of first starting point.
You like a skip, don't you, Helen?
I love a skip. Mildly erotic.
Yeah.
So,
oh my god, yes.
So good. At the moment, I've got our full toy room, which is full of there's a cannon. There's all our...
The props, yeah.
All our set and our books that didn't sell and our T-shirts and
you
our
cups. Plugging that. You stop plugging it on the podcast.
I know.
It's no longer in print.
It's in my house. So
existing copies of that book are in Helen's house. So, yeah.
But I did get a decluttering friend came over last night and she was like, right... this month and next month we're booking in 4 hours.
Brilliant.
And she's like, all right, so what are we doing in the first 4 hours? I was like, she said, no, we'll have a plan. This is I'm coming over from 8 till 12 on this day and this day, and then we can go from there. And we sort of went around the whole house and that felt good. But as soon as you just carve out some space, because I have no headspace or no very little time, and when I do have time I just sort of want to lie down and dark the room. So when someone just says, no, we're putting this in the diary now, that's really good, because people you sort of lop along, don't you?
Live with it, and it's not until something happens or someone forces you, or you know, you move house or something forces you to make that change, and then actually it's a really good cathartic cleansing process to just sort of get rid and rethink things, and you're forced to before the next step. So well done, first step.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So that's good.
So put an appointment in the diary with someone else, or perhaps just be. Sometimes I have to do it myself.
On Tuesday morning,
I'm going to clear my own house out and not.
Kids' rooms is a nightmare for this, because obviously if they're around when you're sorting, then it is a nightmare.
Just do it when they're not there.
Either do it when they're not there, or I do try and say, like, this is, let's give this to charity, or, you know, someone that we know, and that we know it's going to go to a better home, and then they're usually able to release a little bit. And then if it goes in a cupboard again and it's in there again in 2 months, it's going anyway.
My sons find it easier if it's going to their little cousin or whatever, or someone like a good home.
It's like, well, a puppy going into the farm.
Exactly. And what I've found works with my little son is I tell him that I'm going to sell his stuff on eBay or whatever, and then I don't, because I don't have time, and I usually put it in the charity shop or give it to someone else. But then I tell him he's made money, and not very much. Like, he's got no real concept of the value of money, so I can go, all right, you've got £5 from like loads of
porn toys. Well done.
And then I do let him buy like one more toy at the toy shop, but then he's motivated, and then it's exciting because he's got a trip to the toy shop, and it's, you know, it all works out. Yeah. So, well, of course, you can actually eBay it and just make a fucking profit.
Yeah.
That would be my top tip. Okay, good. So get rid of shit. What next? Wayne, have you got one for us?
Just, I think wardrobes are, because I build wardrobes.
Here we go. Wardrobes are just big cupboards, Wayne.
They're big cupboards.
This is his whole design philosophy. Underutilized.
Back of wardrobe doors. So mirrors on back of wardrobe doors. Put rails on the back for your ties. My wife got a really nice, fancy piece of embroidery. She attached to the back of the wardrobe. She puts all her earrings on it.
You voice noted me this, because I said, Wayne, I want you to build me an earring storage. And you're like, no, just put a piece of fabric on the back.
But just little things like that.
Or even
a lot of people have, like, here, you've got loft. You've gone up into the loft, into the eaves. As that stairs, as you're going up, behind you, there's like this square tunnel. Put floating shelves up there or something. So you've got storage for your books and stuff, so you can access them as you walk up the stairs. There's loads of little storage stuff that people don't even think about, but can be utilised within furniture.
I've got the little command clips on the back of my wardrobe doors for hanging my my necklaces, and also my old running medals, so they make an enormous clanking noise every time in the door, which Pete really hates. So that's really good fun if you want to annoy your husband. Yeah. That's a good one.
One of the this is a bit of a bigger project, but I did a really, it's one of my favourite projects for a friend of mine who's was recently divorced, separated. She's got two kids, similar to your age of your kids, but they had to share.
Talking about friends.
And she had to downsize house, so she had to go to a two bedroom. The kids had the bigger bedroom and she had the box room. And the kids' room was one of those big bay windows with another little window at the side. And she called me and she said, can we put a dividing wall? Because it's a boy and a girl. Mm. They're sharing a room. I feel like the worst mum in the world anyway. And I need them to have their own space. And I looked in the room and she had two separate bunk beds. So what we did is we stacked the bunk beds back upon. We put it in the middle of the room. And I clad the bunk bed. So it was like a yin-yang. So you accessed one bunk bed from one side, you know, going up at the top, but then you get you access the other one from the right hand side. So it was like one of those pods you get in Japan, or, you know, those kind of like yin yang pods. So it meant that as they walked in the room, they had their own sides, they couldn't see each other. I clad it and put USB ports in it and lights, and it was all clever, but it meant they had their own rooms, and all that was just cladding a bunk bed. So you just got a bit creative with it. And she went, they've got their own room. They're teenagers who've got their own space. And now I don't feel so bad. So you can get a bit clever with it. Do you know what I mean?
Clad your bunk beds.
Clad
your bunk beds, people. Never heard such a thing in my life. What are some other things that, like, you know, we're sort of... You talk about breaking rules.
Yeah,
like
so low cost options. If we're talking about low cost options, my other sort of favourite trick is just shop in your home. And it sounds obvious, but I think people always buy one thing to go in one place and it stays there for 10 years and you sort of stop seeing it, you fall out of love with it. So I'm always swapping around rugs, chairs, art, accessories, changing up my florals, and just sort of constantly making it feel fresh. And by doing that, you just always fall back in love with your home. So that's a really simple and easy way. You can throw in a new cushion just to freshen it up a little bit, or just so it feels a bit more exciting. But it doesn't have to be that you're completely redesigning your whole space. Just change things around a bit, you know. It's a really simple thing in theory, and you just have fun with it. It doesn't have to be, you know, strict thing, just play and see where it might work, and if it doesn't work, then you move it and then put some candles in. And, yeah. You know, yeah.
And paint is cheap. Because I've been
that was over on my list.
Yeah, I painted my staircase like bright yellow, yeah. And it was one can of paint. I think it was about £40, and I had a bit of time to myself, and it brings me joy like many, many, many times a day.
Yeah, it's the most transformative thing you can do at probably the cheapest price. Tin of paint, £40. Done. And you know what, you can just go for it, and if you don't like it, it's so easy to change. You can do it yourself, you can paint it, you can repaint it. Like, don't be scared. Have fun with it, you know, and it can make a difference in how a space feels, from it being quite cold to being warm to being fun to being creative to being calm. So yeah, I mean, first stop if you're wanting to get really stuck in with the decorating is the paint.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I'm not very good at it, but I really like it.
It doesn't matter.
There's a lot of yellow.
It's bringing
yellow
you joy
all over the house.
But if it's bringing you joy, then that is one of the key points in interior design. It's not filling a space full of really expensive design things. It's about creating a feeling that makes you happy.
And on a DIY front, how empowered and amazing do you feel that you did it?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, we had a party at your house. We came round and we were like, "She did that."
I know.
Yeah. And that was a bold choice, wasn't it?
Very bright yellow. Yeah, and so so now tomorrow, actually, I'll just do a quick shout out. DFS have gifted me a sofa, so I've got a long a French Connection UK grey sofa, and I've got a bright yellow armchair, which is
amazing.
A nice little nod to the yellow staircase. So those sort of things, and then I've just got a little bit more confident about making those sort
it
of
totally empowers you.
Yeah, those sort of choices and things like that. But yes, it's great, and I painted the kitchen. I just haven't put the doors on back yet.
Are they still not on yet?
No. I'm gonna. That's what I know. I know. It's fine. It's absolutely fine.
Well, can I ask why?
Because I've ordered 3 sets of handles and none of them fit. Because when I measured the holes, that's not the length of the handle or the something else. And so I just got really fucked off with it all. So I've got 3 sets of handles that don't fit any of the holes.
It's okay to step away for a couple of days.
Yes, and also my brother is a builder, so I'm going to get him to. I've got a week at home in May. The kids are going to be with their dad, so I thought I'm going to finish the fucking kitchen. I know I can't do it in the next 4 weeks. I just know I can't. It's stupid if I actually put that, and then I've got to declutter later before.
Yes.
I put the doors back on the kitchen. Perfect. So I've got that. So but
you have a plan.
Yeah. So in terms of like renovating my kitchen, I bought an outdoor rug, a black and white outdoor rug from La Redoute for about £40. So that can easily be changed, and that's cheaper than doing the floors. And I'm like, I want to do that. So that was £40, and then I think I spent about £80 on paint. And then the most expensive thing is handles, which I keep buying, and they're wrong. And do I send them back? No, I can't. What I do is I put them in a box.
Sell them on eBay.
Thank you, Nikki. So I've got very, very, very low budget. The other thing that I have found that brings me joy is the magnetic poster hangers. And they are £10 from Amazon, and you can buy, you know, fantastic prints for no money, and you can change those around your house.
Yeah,
so those sort of things, like, I've, you know, so I've re-jazzed up my house for like less than £500 over the last 6 months.
Perfect. Just refreshing it. I just don't think it actually takes, it doesn't have to be a huge transformation all the time. It doesn't have to be thousands of pounds. It's just changing things occasionally and swapping things around.
Mm.
The odd bit of paint, you know, maybe a splash of wallpaper if you fancy it. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing, or doesn't have to be an overwhelmingly scary thing that almost cripples you. And I think that's sometimes what happens to the point that nobody does anything, because they're just like you were saying, Ellie, where to start? You know, how do I agree this with my husband? You know...
Oh, that's a whole other...
Oh, no, that's something I want to talk to you, Wayne and Nikki, about the personal side. But are you basically marriage counsellors a lot of
the
time? That must be a bit teeth sucky, but like, can you reveal some moments?
Nikki was here just the other day, and there were some tense words. Poor Nikki in the middle, like Jerry Springer. It was slightly stressful. I did apologise afterwards.
No, it's you know, it's okay to have these discussions. It's both your homes, and you both got different opinions. And that's the thing, when we quite often are involved, sometimes there's been a lot of emotion even before we've come to site, you know, and quite often why we're often pulled in, because that, you know, you've got two different ideas, two different sets of budgets in mind, two different tastes. So you know, it can be a great thing bringing in an interior designer, because you can be, someone can be a mediator almost. But
is the wife usually right?
Oh, well. I'm shaking my hands. I mean, what is good, I think I have another client who uses the technique of planting seeds with her husband and letting him think it's his idea, which I think is, you know, one technique.
The hardest bit is if the couple don't talk so much. So you'll have planned something, particularly, you know, I've done carpentry for the wife, we've designed it all, and then the husband at the last minute will go, I don't want anything involved in it, but then he'll just look at the drawings and go, oh, actually, no, I don't want that. And then you're like, but we've had a week of playing.
Yeah, that so can be difficult.
That's the hardest bit, because you've kind of geared up to it. But then you have to get everybody involved. You have to get sign off from everybody and get there eventually.
Yeah. Or at least get one party to say, oh, well, you're going to do what you want anyway, aren't you? You can all move on with your lives. But what about, do you ever have a client who wants something that is... You just think, that's awful, that's not, that's going to look shit, or that's not going to work, or like, how do you say to someone, because you're basically, aren't you basically having to say to someone, you've got shit taste?
But it's difficult, because they've employed you to help them, so you hope that they would trust you, but ultimately, is their home, is there, it's not, you know, you're not designing it for you, and if that is what they love, if they love brown everywhere than that, and I'm saying brown is a terrible, because I actually quite love brown, but but you know, if it's, you know, if that's what they love, then that's where we work from, you know, we work and develop that to be.
You just maybe don't put that one on Instagram.
That room doesn't get photographed for Nikki's.
I mean, the thing is, I work very closely with my clients, as you know, and things evolve between us very closely, so you know, I think it's not ever going to be like a huge surprise, or it's not anything we can't work with. It's just finding out how that is the best solution for what we're working with.
No, yeah, and we've had things where I've had to go, actually, I rarely do it, I think, because I do trust your taste more than my own. No, it's more tiny things, isn't it? Like, I don't like that mirror or whatever.
Yeah, so, and that's totally fine, because like I said before, you know, design is subjective, and there are a million mirrors. You know, we can choose something else that will work. It's not a big deal. You know, I can say, I think this one works best for the space because of the size and because of the finishing and because of blah, blah, blah. But
I might be like, I don't want a penis-shaped mirror.
And that is fine.
Come on, Nikki.
You know?
I'm going for a Japanese Scandia setting. You've gone to the Hotel California. So it's not for me.
I was going to ask them about teenage bedrooms, because that's the big thing. That's when you have very little control over, you know, it smells, there's usually about 14 wet towels, you know, there's some kind of culture, organisms growing. And sorry, how do you have those conversations, or your teenagers want to have ownership over their bedroom? So have you got some tips for the listeners at home? Because I think, you know, I just had my teenager say, can I just like graffiti one wall? I'm like, you could graffiti a canvas and we could put that up and then I could burn it.
That was one of my tips, actually.
Okay. Tell me,
Nikki. Number one tip is shut the door.
It's gross, yeah.
It's a really difficult one because, you know, I've designed all of my kids' bedrooms probably 2 or 3 years ago now, and they've evolved as kids, and the bedrooms have evolved, and I always try to make sure there's some longevity in the room, and sort of always trying to forward think a little bit. But ultimately, they do have their own opinions and their own styles and their own taste. And even the other day, Bertie said to me, can I graffiti something in my bedroom, funnily enough? And I said, what? I mean, what do you mean? And he said, I just really want to just do something graffiti. So he ended up doing the inside of his wardrobe doors.
That's awesome.
And I let him do that.
That's when Whitney said she knew Bobby Brown had gone mad when he started spray painting big eyes on the inside of her wardrobe.
Oh, really?
Not to worry you, anyway.
It might explain lots. But I went up and I didn't realise he'd actually done it, so we'd agreed it. But I went up and I opened to put his pants away. I had a massive shock because he'd gone crazy on the inside, top to bottom. And
using like pens?
Well, this was the funny thing. It was bright orange. And I was like, how's he got this? So he'd used Sharpies and bright orange. And he'd used orange hairspray that he'd had from World Book Day.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute, that's Ron Weasley.
What a clever kid. is. That's amazing.
Were all the clothes covered in the orange spray?
I mean, I haven't even looked that far. I just opened the door and went, oh my goodness.
For goodness sake, don't rain on this parade.
I'm thinking, that's that nice merch play that cost a load of money.
Wasn't it? Oh, no, this is Oscar.
This is
Bertie. So he'd done all of that. So yeah, that was a bit of a shock. And then also Bo, my daughter who's 9, so she really wanted, she's got this beautiful wallpaper in her bedroom, which is like a hand-painted mural. I mean, it's a wallpaper print, but it was initially, anyway, she wanted to put loads of mantras and, you know, love yourself things on that.
I can see your shackles are going up.
No.
Was there a dream catcher, Nikki? Was there a dream catcher?
Oh. Yeah. That also went to the inside of the wardrobe.
Fair enough, that's where the dreams can stay.
So what she then did, which we agreed on, was she got some glass pens, like wipeable glass pens, and she's decorated her window, which fortunately is at the back of the house. So she's done her window, so I've designated areas, and I've allowed them to have spaces to express themselves, but, you know, it's a difficult one because they do want to do all of this.
Yeah.
And of course they should. It's their safe space. Mm. And if you're designing a room from scratch with a kid, a teenage kid, I often just sort of say to them, maybe you just talk to them a bit more about how you want the room to feel rather than how you want it to look. Mm. So, you know, don't necessarily, they come at you with all these like crazy colours.
Yeah.
But you can work with them a little bit more and just the overall feeling of the space and how you can incorporate that. So it doesn't have to be so literal.
Yeah.
But yeah, designated spaces, perhaps inside cupboard doors has always worked for me.
I think that's good. What was your teenage bedroom like, Helen?
Oh, I don't... So in the latter years, I was in the bungalow. So my parents had a house and then you went outside and there was a little room, basically, that had its own bathroom.
Like a sort of summer house.
Yeah. Yes, nice. That's where I lived. And then I just had many pictures of Jason Donovan and Kylie Minogue and Michael Hutchinson. But it was wood panelling. And I found it a bit of, like, dark wood panelling. I didn't really like that.
Did your parents keep you in a shed?
Yes.
That's what this sounds like.
But you know what? And Mother will know this because she's listening. It was very good for sneaking... boyfriends.
Oh, goodness.
They could jump over the back fence.
Yeah, move the lawnmower out of the way.
Yeah. Hush the dog.
Yeah, pass the WD-40.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Undo the bolts. So I could sneak lads in. It was very good. But it was good. It did feel like, so that was the teenage sort of lair. So I could have friends over.
I never knew that. That's cool.
Yeah, so I lived in a bungalow out the back.
How cool.
Yes.
You're very lucky.
I know. It was good. So, I'd come in, obviously, for meals.
Please, can you give me some gruel? I've eaten all the fertiliser and the compost. I'm so hungry.
I'm living off nuts and seeds.
Can't keep drinking the lawnmower petrol.
So I lived in a little bungalow. So that was that. But yeah, it was great because I, you know, obviously I could stay up late and do homework and things like that. But we didn't have the internet. So you think about it now, you know, I was kind of safe in a way because, you know, all I had was the radio. And I had tapes, I cassette tapes that I listened to.
Was it on an allotment?
What was yours like, Ellie?
Mine
was at the very top of the house, so much like this house, but my parents still live in a very tall, sort of one of these Victorian southeast London terraces, and I was given the room right at the top, at the far back, which meant I could smoke out the window, which was obviously amazing.
I'm sure they couldn't tell.
I remember the day my mum said I could put whatever I wanted on the walls, which felt weirdly exciting. So I spent like the whole day going through copies of Smash Hits and cutting out pictures of Madonna and Kylie and you know, went through about 4 packets of Blue Tack. And then as I got a bit older, I do remember I had, like, because it was quite far away and I was allowed to have mates over, and it felt quite cool. It felt almost like a little flat. And we used to, you know, smoke out the window, as I say. And I remember one night we were like hungry, but we didn't want to go downstairs and, like, you know, deal with my parents, man, because that wasn't cool. And for some reason, we had a tin of cream of chicken soup and I had a mini kettle. And I was like, we'll just cook it in the mini kettle. And some of the people there were like, I know we've smoked a lot, but I don't think this is good idea. And then a couple of us were like, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And we put the soup in the kettle. Listener, it was Philip. It was not fine. The kettle was sprayed away, and I had to explain to my parents why my room smelled like. It was not good. It was not good. But you know what were yours like? Was yours quite designery?
I had the proper flat pack furniture that everybody had at that point. Yeah. But I remember one year I kind of took it all apart and then used the wood. Use the wood to create desks and stuff, and like put a shelf up and created a rail, and my mum walks in and went, where the fuck's your furniture? Like literally, I'd like stacked like, I had two bedside tables, but then I took the wardrobe apart, and the size of the wardrobe became the desk. And I drilled.
What the fuck? Was she like, why couldn't you just be on drugs or gay? A normal teenage boy. This is your secret. This is your weird hobby. For fuck's sake.
Came up and like, what the fuck have you been? Like, where's our furniture gone? We've like cut it up to crane pieces and put the breeze blocks
That's
to create
insane.
Shelves. Yeah, I've just thought of it as soon as you were talking about being, because I was in the loft as well.
You were always into carpentry.
Well, my dad's a builder, so it had always been around it. But yeah. I was a turn. I was a singer. That was never going to be my
What are you talking about? You're chopping up wood bags in your bedroom. For fuck's sake. It was a corning.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Looking back now, yeah.
That's so funny. Again, there are worse things you could have been doing.
Exactly, yeah. And I was doing all of those as well, probably. Yeah.
What about you, Nikki? Was yours all... It was, you know...
Well, I always shared a bedroom with my sister, so I used to dress her up as a cleaner and make her clean it. And I'd time her. In the meantime...
This
cleaner at work called Fag Ashley. So we didn't realise at the time what that meant, so we used to dress her up as a Fag Ashley. Anyway, so she would do that and I would like style the room. So we used to go to boot sales quite a lot and I'd buy like ornaments and like lacy doilies and things. And so I used to like dress the room and then like do things like sand and stain an old desk. And then when I went to university, I actually spent pretty much all my student loans on decorating our student rented rooms.
Oh my god.
And so like you know, we'd get to the end of term and my parents would be like, oh, if you run out of money to, you know, buy ink cartridges, and they'd come over and be like, oh, this wasn't the colour that this bedroom was before.
This ceiling is dark.
Painted the walls and changed the duvet. Amazing. And like, yeah, so I was a little bit obsessed.
That's
early
hilarious.
On. And every time we moved house, I'd always decorate our student room because I knew that we could. Generally, they'd always let us have, as long as we painted it white back after. And so I'd be like, oh, perfect, changing rooms again.
Oh, my goodness. God, if only you two had known each other as teenagers.
It's
funny. I mean, oh.
And what's coming up for you guys anyway? Like,
I'm just knee-deep in projects at the moment, to be honest. I sort of, but yeah, in terms of what's going on, yeah, just working on projects mainly is my big thing at the moment. I've been working on some shoots for clients, styling, and then I've got some collabs coming up with some brands. So
nice!
Yeah, so they're the three big things, really.
Wayne, what are you up to these days?
So,
Well. No, in fact, I'll start this, Wayne, because...
Oh, she's going to bring it up. She's bringing it up.
Nikki and I have been working very hard on the patio bit of my garden, trying to get it ready for the summer. And I heard that you're too busy to put the doors on my outdoor kitchen because you were doing the Chelsea flower show.
Wow. Ellie, what am I going to do?
Royal Chelsea.
The Royal Chelsea. Just said that to wind me up.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful, Wayne. Tell us all about it.
Oh, that's fine. Doff your cap. Well, I sit here with open... My outdoor kitchen, it's like Helen's kitchen. It's
I've done enough in this house. I've done lots of things. I'm so sorry.
You make it sound like it was slave. No, we're paging.
Yes, so I'm doing Chelsea Flower Show. I did it last year, co-designing and building a garden at Chelsea this year as well, along with all the other DIY shows I do as well. But I'm about to launch a new thing called House Proud Club, and it's like what me and Helen spoke before about empowering women to do up their house. But in a way, rather than about that DIY, I think everyone should have a practical, safe and beautiful home. So safe meaning... your husband's pissed you off and you want to change your locks, how to, if you lose your keys, you know, how to change your locks. If your smoke alarm's beeping, what does that mean? How to fix...
Stop fagging inside.
Yeah. But, you know, but then, so I'm trying to do all the little jobs that you actually don't need drills for. All the things in your house that make you house proud, whether it's fixing a toilet seat or all those silly little DIY stuff. So I've created this, like, an online space where people can come and learn and I can teach them. And so women... And originally I've taught people how to use drills. I've taught... People have done courses and it's always women. It's like men don't go to these courses. It's always women who go, I want to be empowered to be able to do this myself.
Yeah.
So I've just honed down on it and created a specific group just for women so I can empower them to make their house as the best it can be and they can feel confident to do it. So... If people just want to come along and learn from me, the DIY expert.
I love it. That's brilliant.
And how are you doing that? Is it a workshop?
It's going to be like a members group. Oh, so cool. It's a really, really cheap membership group. But yeah. It'll literally be every week, every other week, there'll be a new video. There'll be guest speakers, like interior designers will come in. So I'll do things like how to do gallery walls, how to fix smoke alarms, how to turn your gas off if you smell a leak or, you know, what the fuse, like my wife won't even open the fuse board because she thinks she's going to get zapped by all the buttons. Explain what it is. All those things that I teach on BBC Morning Live or Alan Titchmarsh Love Your Weekend, which are literally 5-10 minute videos, which it make people go, I can do that. Because that my for the last 2 years, that's all I've done is teach people to go, oh, I can do this. I don't need
so
all the
good.
Tools.
Yeah.
But actually realising there's no one else that does it and it's tailored just to empower women to do the things in the house, you know, ladies to be empowered. And like me and Helen spoke before, she was like, when you first got divorced, you were like, we should do something because I think there's women out there who are like me who don't know what to do.
And it's overwhelming and like the thing, if you could just teach me how to use my fucking printer, that makes me incandescent. I would be like, I'm just like literally like a chimp, like banging it, going, come on, print Hugo's homework. But yeah, I think that's a thing, and you don't want to feel like you're reliant on a man. You don't want to feel like it overwhelms you. It's like my toilet kept blocking because my everyone does massive.
We all know why.
We know about your bowel.
Anyway. So I was paying a plumber because I'd be like, oh, I don't have the headspace, I can't do this. And then I just Googled online and there's like this amazing unblocker thing, which was 14 quid from Amazon. Mm-hmm. Did I feel proud? Yes, I did, listener. And anytime anyone does a massive thing, I'm like, mummy's here. Bang, bang, bang.
And can I tell you the top tip that Ellie gave me?
The sponge, Helen.
Maybe you can tell it better than me.
No, you
go. Oh, well, listen, I came over to your house on a site visit and there was like a pile of like pumice stones on a stick on the table. I was like, oh, hey.
She must have terrible brookers.
She's like, Nikki, have you ever used one of these before? And I was like, oh, you know. And she said, well, all you need to do, if you've got like a terribly stained, lime scaly toilet, get one of these bad boys down it and it removes it. And I was like, top
pumice
tip.
Stone.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's like a pumice stone, but it's like, it's
on
got a handle. It's
like old people to do the back of their feet.
But it's like you buy them, I think they're like $8.99 for four on Amazon, and you stick them in the toilet and you just sort of, it's like amazing nail file, and you go,
oh my God.
And it chips it all off. And then, and it's just one of the most satisfying, enjoyable things.
So have you seen the YouTube videos where they say, like, put Coke down your toilet?
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just bleaches the calcium.
You just need to get one of these.
And then I remember you said to me, Nikki, oh, and you do it with rubber gloves, yeah? And I was like, yeah. You're supposed to, you are. That's
got
a good
special
idea.
Special gloves for that one. Yeah.
But I've got something to tell you, Nikki. Oh, I haven't told you. I was on, I do belong to like some slightly nutty Facebook groups called things like Clean and Declutter UK, where it's all people arguing about bin bags. And someone on there the other day said that they're unhygienic, the pumice stones.
No. Why?
Because they can cause minor abrasions to the surface of the porcelain, which then attracts more bacteria.
Oh, gosh.
And I was like,
but what are you doing with
exactly?
Yeah.
Are you making a cup of tea in your toilet, then scooping it? Fuck off.
No one's touching that water.
No
one's touching that water.
Ludicrous. Time for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Yes, my confession's quite niche in that, and it's not, basically, in the UK, when you get your learner's permit to license to drive, you get 10 years, okay? My learner's permit expires.
Your provisional license.
My provisional license. It expires on the 29th of April this month. So I have had my provisional license for 10 years and done fuck all about it. So that's my scummy confession. I've had a few driving lessons. Anyway,
tell the whole truth.
What?
Is it your first provisional driving license?
No, it's my second.
For 20 years.
Yes. I share these stories for everybody.
The second question was, can you get it a second time? But can you get it a third time?
I'm about to find out, Wayne. Let's talk about empowering people, Wayne.
Yeah.
Can I drive?
Well, why did you call your thing Wayne-splains?
I don't know. That's Wayne-splaining.
That is brilliant. Yeah. Wayne-splaining. Oh. I love it.
Oh, Helen.
So that is my scummy confession, is that I, yeah, I'm fucking hopeless. Anyway, over to everyone else. Yes.
Well, I wanted to give a shout out, first of all, to the Phoenix. We're big fans of the Phoenix comic, and the kids read it every week, and they love it, and it's brilliant. And I took Joe to the Phoenix Comic Fest on
Sunday.
Where
was that, Ellie?
That was in Oxford, Helen, which is a 2.5-hour drive away.
I believe
on
so.
On Sunday. I was able to drive there because I passed my test in 10 years ago. That's the advantage.
It's wonderful.
So we drove for 2.5 hours. And then it was brilliant. You get to sort of leave them in this sort of, it's a bit like school.
Like
you
a soft leave play.
Them, like with these comic book artists who hopefully get criminal records checked. You just sort of go and you sit in a cafe for 4 hours and do loads of admin and eat some cake and drink some tea. And it was absolutely delightful.
So lovely.
So I had quite a nice time, to be honest. And then I drove him 2.5 hours home, by which point. And it was, you know, it was all those things where they need a wee and it's raining and you're, it was just all of that. I won't do it. But then we got home and I was like, how was it? Did you meet your comic book hero? Show me your comic book that you've drawn. And he produced like one piece of paper with a stick figure on it, and I was like, and he's like, yeah, I had a good time. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I couldn't get more out of him, and then he talked to his brother, and his brother came in, and I said to Charlie, did Joe enjoy the comic book thing? And he said, oh, he said he mainly just read comics. So I drove that child on a 5-hour round trip.
So
we could
car.
Sit in a room in Oxford and read books that we have at home. We have all the Phoenix comics books because they're brilliant. Mm. So, but that's no reflection on the Phoenix people. Thank you for the...
No, that was Joe's choice.
That was Joe's choice. And God bless him, they left him to it and didn't force him to do stuff. Because if there's one thing that child doesn't like, is being told what to do. So many thanks to Phoenix for entertaining my child and letting me eat cake for 4 hours. It was actually... thinking about it, worth the drive. It was great. Oh, next up, who wants to go next?
Okay, so years ago, my youngest was one, I think. Anyway, we messed up on my oldest son's passport. We were meant to be driving all the way to France.
Oh, no.
And it was hell. We ended up having to go all the way to Peterborough and hang out in Peterborough for 2 days. We waited for his passport.
To get the emergency.
Yeah, emergency passport. Oh, anyway. God. So there was this massive stress because we'd hired this amazing French house in Toulouse and they'd spent all this time and money doing it up. We were going to be their first ever customers. They'd spent like literally 2 weeks.
You can't fuck that up. You can't fuck it up.
But we pretty much did.
Well done. So basically,
we had to drive all the way to Peterborough, up to Peterborough from London, spend 2 days there, wait for this passport, and then we had literally about 11 hours to drive all the way from there to Toulouse before they had to give us the keys, show us everywhere, and they get on their plane to go off to Milan. And so we drove through the night, like wired on coffee between us, kids all in the back, all completely like, you know, stripped off because it's absolutely boiling.
Oh.
Anyway, we turn up about 3 o'clock in the morning in Toulouse and this lovely young couple who'd been doing this beautiful, beautiful French place up came out and like, oh, thank goodness you've arrived. Let us help you. And they helped, while we were faffing around with the suitcases, they helped get the kids out of the car and they literally lifted my daughter, Beau, who was, you know, one at the time, out of this car and she was covered literally from head to toe in poo. Literally the horror on the lady's face was just like, and they are staying in our place for 2 weeks.
And we literally
walked them over to their brand new marble bathroom. We had to hose her down and then wave goodbye to them. Don't worry, your place is going to be totally for 2 weeks.
Yeah, 3 small children. What could go wrong?
Forever just making sure everything was perfect after that. We're like, don't mess things up, don't touch anything.
That sounds really relaxing. Oh,
yeah, that was a great holiday.
Oh, so and that then was pretty stressful. Teenage years.
So February half term, I'm at this stage with my kids at the moment where I'm panic mode that suddenly they're going to all be leaving home soon and I haven't really... All I've been getting to is getting through the day with them and getting through the routine to going, oh my God, they're going to leave soon and we haven't done enough and we must do loads of stuff together. So I booked something for me and Oscar to do over half term. So I try and do something with each of them over holiday. So with Oscar, I was like, right, I've seen this exhibition that had been advertised. It was a VR... exhibition animation in the modern world, and I was like, oh my God, that's so up his street, this is going to be brilliant, he's going to love it, I'm going to be a really cool mum, going to score like mum points. And we went along and it was one of these theatres that you go in, and I was expecting it to be like an exploration into VR and how they create the animation and all of that. So we sat down and actually it turns out it was by, clearly didn't read the small print, a certain artist who looped this video every hour of VR in the modern world, but it was actually VR issues in the modern world. And the first scene people in the VR world like racking up drugs, and then they went to a whorehouse, and it was the most horrific thing in 2 minutes.
My!
They had a beanie on, I just pulled the beanie over his eyes and we're leaving.
Quality time!
It was quality time!
Making memories.
Let's go. I mean, I know a great place in Covent Garden does great ice cream.
I'll drive you to Peppa Pig World. I'll take you to Oxford.
And
anything.
He came out and was going, Mum, what was that about? And I said, I'm so sorry. I've been spending my whole life protecting you from this stuff. Had to go home and explain it to my husband. We laughed about it, sort of.
Babe.
We've all done it. No, we haven't.
Horror.
Well, Wayne. Are you also a terrible parent?
we've got our kids are the same age, so 14 going on 15.
Yeah.
And my daughter, I asked my wife and daughter what I could talk about, and my daughter went, none of it.
Yeah.
There's an element that I can talk about her that she had her first boyfriend before Christmas. She got her first boyfriend. It was fine, and she was going to invite him over. And I said, I was quite pleased that she was prepared to share her boyfriend. So I thought, that's good. And I said, before he came over, I was like, you can go upstairs, but the bedroom door has to be open. Did all the things you kind of have to do.
Just in case they start making some shelving.
Yeah. away from the chicken soup. don't put it in the kettle.
So he came. I picked him up from the station. He's a lovely boy, great, and he's actually really nice. He's kind of the guy you could introduce to the family. Bring in, and they came in. They were laughing, and they went upstairs. Door was open, and they were laughing. That was lovely, but then it goes quiet. She kind of go,
stop it.
So then it was like, what? I'm sitting there in the lounge going, I can hear the bedrooms above us and the doors there and all the doors are open and it's just quiet. And I'm like,
she's obeying the rules.
She's obeying the rules, but then you know what they're doing. And we're all at that age with our kids where they're there.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you want pizza? There's a dog up there. And it's like, and they're laughing again. So it's not a confession, but it's a... the pain is there.
You were going.
I feel Wayne's pain. Yeah.
But she ditched him anyway, and she's moved on then.
And she's not pregnant.
No, happy ending.
Oh, well, there we are.
Oh, there it was an interiors chat.
Not sure as much design to it, but it was nonetheless a chat.
We should say, where can people find you on the internet, Nikki and Wayne?
thetvcarpenter.com. So if you go on there, it will link through to all the Facebook groups and all the way I can help you, and all my Instagrams and everything on there. So
yeah,
thetvcarpenter.com.
And I'm under And Then They Went Wild. Well, my Instagram profile is that, and that's my company name, and you can find me.
And Then They Went Wild.
It's a long one.
If you are in South East London, highly recommend, obviously, Nikki and Wayne. So it's not Wayne's anymore, obviously, because he's too busy with the fucking and Alan Titchmarsh to come and fix your doors and shelves. You're the only proletarian. You're out of luck. However, if you're royalty or Alan Titchmarsh, they'll be right with you.
I have sang for the royal family before.
Did you sing the red flag?
No,
I'm not even.
I sang at Windsor Castle.
Did you? That's lovely.
It was part of the Queen's Jubilee 10 years ago, and Alan Titchmarsh actually introduced me as I sang in
front of...
This
is what I'm talking about! It's this tiny little bubble in the upper echelon of society. These people are all
I thought it was the Royal... Didn't you do the Royal Variety?
No, my wife did that, but this was part of a Queen's Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee. It's at Windsor Castle in front of 5,000 people and the Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh.
And I sang a solo for all the royal family.
Was it Candle in the Wind?
No, not quite. I know what you're doing, stop it!
It's what she would have wanted. Should we do some admin?
Yes, we should. We're on tour all up and down the country. We're on tour until... sort of midway through 2024, roughly.
Yes. And things are selling out, which is financially good news. But Bristol's nearly sold out, I think.
Yes, it is. And nearly sold out at Winchester. That's Newcastle. We could have a few more.
We could accommodate a few more.
Of course. Yes, it is an 1,100-seater theatre. Anyway.
Lichfield, Lowestoft.
Brighton, lovely things. Taunton, Wells.
Bath's selling out, actually.
Yes, that's doing very, very well. So, yes, get onto the website. We're coming to a town near you. We're not doing the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
That's why we're not coming. Let's anyway, end this. I'll get some more wine out of one of the many cupboards.
Excellent.
Oh,
wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much, Wayne and Nikki. You've been amazing guests. And thank you for making my house truly less shit.
Yay! Congratulations.
Oh. Wonderful. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Scumbags, this is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Would you clean a toilet brush in a dishwasher?
No,
Wayne's vomiting.
No.
Why would you put poo things in the dishwasher?
No. I put my dishcloths in the dishwasher.
Well, I wouldn't either, but the argument is really, what's the difference? It's sterilising, it's cleaning. You're eating off plates that come out of it. But to me,
it's too risky.
Someone, when the husband, he stacks it and blame it on husband, puts the baking tray in the way and it doesn't whiz round properly. Ding. What then? Ding.
Oh no, Nikki, you were like, there's a systematic way to stitch the dish.
Yeah, I always have to restack.
Oh, this is the end of the beautiful friendship.
OCD and me coming through.
We'll throw close the door on it.
Yeah.
I'm a chucker in, you're a chucker in, aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, sadly, that's the end of Nikki and I's friendship.
Sorry.
S couple of steps.
S club, I think.
Okay, I'm afraid that is definitely for the friendship.
Incorrect.
I know the outdoor kitchen is the kitchen, but Wayne can't do the doors anywhere. I think we'll just leave it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.